Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on the Bet 1520. Our guest today has been on our sister station with Tom Bowerly many times, a very bright man in law enforcement. His name is Frank J. Panasek, and he is the president of the 1791 Society PAC, dedicated to preserving Second Amendment rights in New York State. Frank Panasek is a retired police detective and, as I mentioned, president of the 1791 Society. They are headquartered in Buffalo, New York. He is also a qualified expert witness in firearms related in both criminal and civil courts and has been a longtime Second Amendment advocate. Frank Panasek has been actively engaged as a consultant in antique and collector firearms to private collectors and attorneys for five decades. Our guest today. Now, one thing that you talked about on our sister station with Tom Bowerly, I believe you had a relative with COVID, and it was a tragic situation where people with COVID were forced into the nursing homes. I know one man in Amherst, New York, whose father-in-law was in pretty good health, age 80, in a nursing home. They forced the COVID-positive patients into the nursing home, and he was dead in 2 weeks. He considered this murder on the part of former Governor Andrew Cuomo. Could you please explain what was wrong with this effort to put COVID-positive patients into nursing homes, causing between 12,000 to 15,000 deaths in New York State? Frank Panasek.
Well, it makes no sense. It makes no sense to put people who are obviously positive and sick into a facility where no virus exists at the moment. We have seen this with the new governor, Hochul, just in the last few days. She has ordered prisoners from Rikers Island into other correctional facilities that are clean. And this is going to happen again. You know, if these people are infected, it makes no sense to bring them into a facility where the virus doesn't exist. These are political decisions. There's a lot of political posturing here, and it's not good for the health of the people. And in this situation with the prisons, you know, these corrections officers are exposed to these inmates. They are bringing this home to their families, their wives, their husbands, their kids, and it's getting out into the general community. So while they're doing mask theater and going through this whole masking situation, they're instituting policies that are spreading this virus like wildfire.
It doesn't make any sense. And the other thing, and maybe you can comment on this, you can't go to Canada unless you have a COVID test and the vaccination card. But 1 million people have come in through the southern border. I haven't heard of any requirements for them to have COVID testing before they come here and vaccination cards. How do you get through this hypocrisy here?
Well, you know, it's typical of this administration. You know, we've been seeing this for a long time. with these liberals, these socialist Democrat liberals, whatever fits the narrative to import voters. You know, if they can't get elected with the people that are here and they need more votes, they'll bring them in. And we know that, we know it's all about voting. I mean, they're refusing these voter IDs. You need an ID for everything. You need an ID to go buy a spray can of paint in some stores because they're afraid you're going to inhale it or spray a wall or something. But you can go vote without an ID. It's ludicrous. But it's entirely political. None of these things are done by accident. They're all done with a purpose, and they're all done deliberately. Nothing occurs by accident. Everything that exists is because someone in authority wants it that way.
Let's talk a little bit about gun problems. And we just saw, I think it was in Tennessee before this taping, man went into a Kroger's, killed a couple people, shot about 13 people. Isn't this almost always a mental health issue? And couldn't these people, if they didn't use a gun, they'd use something else? They'd use an explosive or ram people down with a car or a knife or an axe. Isn't this more of a mental health issue and having little to do with guns?
Absolutely, because the vast majority of gun owners are law-abiding. We've been seeing these mental health issues for years. They are definitely on the upswing because of the dismantling of the mental health treatment. You know, we close mental institutions. We deny people care and treatment. You know, anybody that's experienced it in their family, if they're having problems with someone and they go to try to get these people treatment, they run up against a stone wall. Well, he hasn't done anything yet. We really can't do anything. You know, he may be acting, a little out of line in that, but he hasn't really harmed anybody yet. How many times have we heard that? You know, when you do get one of these shooters and they go back and look at the behavior, all the signs are there. But the situation that's in place, they won't do anything about it until after the fact, after a number of people are shot or stabbed or somebody throws gasoline into a crowded room. So we have to change the way we're treating these mentally ill people. These background checks, these instant background checks, a lot of that is just a great theater, feel-good type of thing. Somebody who is determined to harm someone will harm someone. They will find a way to do it. In England, they have virtually banned firearms. They are strictly and highly controlled. They are so controlled in England that the British Olympic pistol team has to go to France to practice because they cannot possess the handgun in England. So what's happened is they've got an underground situation, a black market of manufactured firearms, home manufactured firearms. And they have a huge knife problem because people that want to kill somebody will find a way to do it. So, you know, we hear this term gun violence all the time. It's another liberal anti-Second Amendment buzzword that they came up with. Guns are inanimate objects. They're made out of wood and plastic and steel. They are not capable of violence. A gun can sit in a safe or in a drawer or cabinet for decades, and it doesn't do a thing until somebody picks it up and uses it. It's the person that is acting violent, not the firearm.
Well, about the restrictions, these tough restrictions in England, has crime rate gone down in any way with these tough restrictions, or are people just committing more violent crimes, as you said, with knives or axes or swords, whatever? But has there been any reduction?
No, there hasn't been any reduction at all. They have huge problems there. And, you know, all their gun banning and so forth, it hasn't done anything to the people who want firearms. What you know, what a lot of these politicians fail to realize is all firearms are made by man. They're not, they don't occur naturally. They don't grow on trees. They're manufactured in machine shops and manufacturing facilities. And in an open society like we have, you cannot stop somebody from manufacturing a firearm. Anytime you prohibit anything, you create a black market for it. You know, they banned drugs years ago. We're very tightly controlled on narcotics. Do you see any lack of narcotics anywhere? It's everywhere. Anybody that wants it can get it. You know, if they could ban all guns tomorrow and say we're confiscating them, they're not going to magically disappear. It's not going to happen.
We're learning a great deal from a gentleman who is a big Second Amendment advocate, Frank Panasek, and he is the president of the 1791 Society PAC, dedicated to preserving Second Amendment rights in the state of New York. And this show on the Bet 1520 reaches 17 states and much of Canada. Please drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, the Bet 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. We always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners, as this station has received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand. A little plug here, Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the Ampol Legal has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the Ampol Legal. The Ampol Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. A little bit more information about Frank Panasek. He was one of the founding members of the 1791 Society, which was organized to oppose the attacks on the Second Amendment rights of the people of New York State by now disgraced former Governor Andrew Cuomo and the midnight secret passage of his so-called SAFE Act. Our guest, Frank Panasek. I'd like to thank those who've called regarding our recent guest, Mike Sheehan, with the Challenger Learning Center, popular Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard, and Carlos Diaz with Florida International University. Coming up, we're going to have civic leader Lenny Lane and former New York State Republican Chair Ed Cox on the Rusk Report on the Bet 1520. Let's talk a little bit about the new Lieutenant Governor of New York, Brian Benjamin, who's an advocate for defunding the police. I mean, can you make this stuff up, that we actually have a Lieutenant Governor who wants to take away funding for police? Frank Panasek.
Yeah, well, having lived the career on the police department, I can tell you that defunding the police is an absolute disaster in the making. People need protection. When they dial 911 and they need a police car there, at seconds, 30, 40, 60 seconds seems like an hour to them. When you don't have the cars, you don't have the officers to dispatch, you have a disaster in the making. The police can only be reactive most of the time. They definitely do preventive patrols. Of course, when you're on patrol and one thing happens, you're always at the opposite end of your district. It's just the way things are. But trying to defund the police department, to institute more social welfare programs, more giveaways, more nonsense, it's ridiculous. These people that are committing these crimes need to be arrested and incarcerated. And that's how you get the criminals off the streets. It's a tried and true situation that we've done for decades since the formation of this country, and even in Europe. It makes no sense to let these people run free after they've exhibited criminal intent to harm others. And you know, these programs of defund the police. You know, I mean, where does it stop? You know, when you pick up there have been situations in Chicago, people pick up the phone to call a police car. They don't have one to send. So, you know, we have the same situation in Buffalo here. We have a mayoral candidate who wants to take $7 million away from the Buffalo Police Department. It's just crazy. It really is.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to go into about India Walton. She wants to take away $7.5 million in police funding. I think she wants to have psychologists, social workers, and psychiatrists go to a crime scene. I mean, we're talking about 100 police being laid off, many of them women and people of color in the police department. I mean, what are you going to gain by that, and how is a social worker going to deal with a person with a gun or an automatic rifle? I mean, could you explain this to me, Frank Panasek?
Well, the politically correct nonsense and the reality of the situation are two polar opposites. These people that are coming up with these ideas have never faced someone holding a gun or a knife who has totally lost their mental faculties and all ability to reason and are intent on harming somebody. And they can come up with all these ideas that sound, you know, real rosy on paper and say, oh, we're going to get them some counseling. Well, they haven't had to deal with somebody that is acting out so badly that it takes four or five officers to restrain them. And they come up with this nonsense because, you know, it's a political football where they, you know, want to make it look like, oh, we're helping them. Well, okay, we can help them, but first we have to get them under control and disarm them. And you just can't send a social worker for this kind of stuff. You have to have police officers.
For those who just tuned into the Rusk Report, we're speaking with Frank Panasek. He's an antique and collector firearms consultant in Hamburg, New York, and he's the president of the 1791 Society PAC, dedicated to preserving Second Amendment rights in New York State. If you're listening in Cheektowaga, Washington, or Montreal, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, The Bet, 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. We always read cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. Frank J. Panasek was one of the founding members of the 1791 Society, which was organized to oppose the attacks on the Second Amendment rights of the people of New York State by now the disgraced former Governor Andrew Cuomo in the midnight secret passage of his so-called SAFE Act. Our guest today, Frank Panasek, who's been on our sister radio station with Tom Bowerly many times. Let's talk about early parole. I mean, this is another thing where you're letting hardened criminals out of jail, and often they commit the same or similar crimes as soon as they get out. Let's talk about the evils of early parole, Frank Panasek.
Well, these people were convicted of crimes. You know, they were sentenced to incarceration, and interfering with the sentence, it doesn't do any good. They're going to come back out on the street. They make additional contacts in prison. It doesn't really change them. A lot of this rehabilitation, so-called rehabilitation, we had a saying on the police department, you can't rehabilitate someone who wasn't habilitated in the first place. So this early parole, again, it's a political football. That is all it really is.
Now, even probably worse is the cashless bail situation. Sheriff Howard spoke before three Rotary clubs a couple months ago in Amherst, and he told about one person that they arrested in 7 weeks, seven times. And this criminal kept getting these appearance tickets. So he'd go out, he'd mug someone, then he'd rob a 7-Eleven, then he'd injure someone else, and then he'd have traffic infractions. And finally, on the eighth arrest, the sheriff said, in 8 weeks. They finally put him in jail. Isn't this a stupid program, cashless bail?
Yes, it certainly is. In many cases, we have had been able to defuse situations by holding the individual on bail rather than letting them walk free and letting them out, you know, when they could have been held on bail, prevented them from committing another crime. Many times these people are having personal problems and situations, and, you know, when they're in the county jail and they're cooling their heels a little bit, they're not doing something else. So arresting them when they're in a situation where they're starting to act out is actually doing them and the public a favor until they can get some treatment or get straightened out or get on their medication. But just letting them out on appearance tickets on these crimes, again, political expedient. You know, the legislators who passed this can go to their voters and say, look what I did. When you get arrested, you don't have to post bail anymore. But the general public suffers.
Let's talk about another situation, and that's the death of people in the jails. And if somebody's on heroin and going through withdrawal and they commit suicide, how is law enforcement supposed to deal with these people who are high on drugs? The law enforcement people did not sell them nor give them the drugs. So how can we hold accountable law enforcement institutions when someone's going through withdrawal on heroin? Could you explain this to us, Frank Panasek?
Well, exactly. We've said this for years. You know, in many cases, the people that are sent to the holding centers, you know, they have abused themselves with drugs and alcohol for years. They haven't availed themselves of proper medical treatment. They have heart issues. They have lung issues. They have blood pressure issues. So they get arrested on a charge, and they come into a correctional holding facility. Now, you know, the sheriff cannot snap his fingers and correct 25 or 30 years of behavior of this individual, you know, that he's engaged in to harm himself and not maintain his health or anything. A lot of these people are there because they were using drugs. I often said, you know, these reporters who are constantly hammering on this should do a week in a county jail on all the shifts and see what is coming in there and the condition that these people are in. You know, these correctional officers do their best to make sure that they're taken care of, but you cannot institute a magical situation where you can correct, you know, their physical problems that they themselves have caused. And that has been the cause of a lot of these deaths.
Let's talk about a high-profile case throughout the United States, and that's the unfortunate death of Gabby Petito, a 22-year-old girl who went with her 23-year-old boyfriend out west on a cross-country trip. She's dead now. They're searching for this boyfriend. How common is this type of violence and killing of boyfriends and girlfriends throughout the country?
Well, the violence and killing, luckily, isn't as bad, you know, as it could be. We saw a lot of domestic arguments, boyfriend-girlfriend things and so forth. This is a high-profile case. The news media latched onto it. You have a pretty young girl who went missing. It was a great story. But there's a lot of these stories that we never hear about. So, you know, toxic situations like she was obviously in, a lot of times they just can't get away from these guys.
No, horrible tragedy. Rikers Island, I understand they've had problems with rioting and now early parole release. I mean, aren't we going to see more of a hike in crime in the greater New York City area, letting these hardened criminals out on the street?
Oh, absolutely. New York City is a disaster area. We're hearing about it every day. We're hearing about attacks on the subways, attacks in Times Square. You know, they're not doing anything to take these people off the street. You cannot let them out. There are too many people with mental problems, with criminal attitudes, and they want to open the gates and let them out. We are going to suffer the consequences.
One last question here about these tougher COVID rules in employment. We see a lot of people who are quitting their jobs. Can't we have a balance with perhaps people wearing masks, distancing, and let people stay on the jobs? We've seen this with so many thousands of restaurant and cocktail lounge layoffs in the last year and a half. Now we see it in healthcare with 10% of the people quitting their jobs with these tough rules. Can't you have a balance, Frank Panasek?
Well, it's interesting. I spoke to a nurse the other day, and she said that during the height of the COVID in March, April of 20, they were heroes. They worked 18 hours a day. In some cases, they were using the same mask for 4 or 5 days because they couldn't get any more. And now they're being told they can be easily replaced. There's not much gratitude there for what these people have done. So, and I even had a nurse tell me that she was young and she was healthy and that she was working daily with the COVID patients. And she actually felt that she wanted to acquire it and get it over with to get the immunity for it. And she was working with these patients very closely, and she never acquired the COVID virus. So there is certainly a lot of what we like to refer to as mask theater going on.
Yeah, I'm sorry we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. This is a common sense leader in law enforcement, Frank Panasek, president of the 1791 Society PAC, dedicated to preserving Second Amendment rights in New York State, often a guest on our sister station with Tom Bowerly. Thank you for educating us so much, both about COVID and firearms. Special thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the past 15 years. Thank you for enlightening us, Frank Panasek. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.